We're talking about a forthcoming Vatican document that's expected to ban gay men from entering the seminary and becoming priests. My guest, Father Joseph Fessio, supports such a ban. Father Fessio is the founder and editor-in-chief of Ignatius Press, which is the primary English-language publisher of the works of Pope Benedict XVI. Back in the 70s, when Fessio studied in Germany, the Pope, who was then Joseph Ratzinger, was Fessio's dissertation director and mentor. Fessio is also the provost of Ave Maria University, a new university founded by Thomas Monahan, the founder and former owner of Domino's Pizza. I asked Father Fessio why he supports a Vatican ban against gay men becoming priests.
The fundamental reason behind this has to do with the beliefs of the Catholic Church. Now, not everybody is Catholic, and even Catholics disagree with some of the things which the Church teaches. But the Church does have pretty clear teachings on a number of things, and this is one of them. For those interested, I mean, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which was put out in the mid-90s, is a wonderful compendium of what the Church actually teaches. I'd like to read just a couple of paragraphs from the Catechism. There's not very many on homosexuality, but to me, it gives the basis for what the Church is doing here. This is 2357. It says, homosexuality refers to relations between men and or between women who experience an exclusive or predominant sexual attraction towards persons of the same sex. It has taken a great variety of forms through the centuries and in different cultures. Its psychological genesis remains largely unexplained. And then here comes the critical part of the Church's teaching. Basing itself on sacred scripture, which represents homosexual acts as acts of grave depravity, tradition has always declared that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. They are contrary to the natural law. They close the sexual act of the gift of life. They do not proceed from a genuine affective and sexual complementarity. Under no circumstances can they be approved. Now, I'm ending my quote from the Catechism there. That's very hard and can even sound harsh. But the Catholic Church and those who are responsible for the teachings of the Church are convinced that it's true. And if it's true, it's going to have some consequences in the life of the Church. Now, it's very important to remember that it's immediately followed by a paragraph which says, the number of men and women who have deep-seated homosexual tendencies is not negligible. This inclination, which is objectively disordered, constitutes for most of them a trial. They must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. Every sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. These persons are called to fulfill God's will in their lives, and if they are Christians, to unite to the sacrifice of the Lord's cross, the difficulties they may encounter from their condition. So it's very important to keep those two paragraphs in mind. The Church holds by the natural law that homosexual activity and the orientation is a disorder. Nevertheless, the people who have that disorder are human beings worthy of respect and dignity. So, the Church holds it's a psychological disorder. The Church realizes that there's people who disagree with that, but that's what the Church holds. There's all kinds of psychological disorders which render you incompatible for the seminary. This is just one of them. I mean, it's like somebody who had a great fascination in seeing fires burn, pyromaniac, would not be admitted to to be a fireman. So the same thing holds here. This is a difficulty which is not just a sexual difficulty. It's a question of personality and character.
Now, the Catechism says that gays are called to chastity, but this letter is expected
to say...
That's
right, that's the next paragraph.
Right, but the letter from the Vatican that's forthcoming is expected to say that gays can't be priests, and the assumption is that that's because the Church believes that gay people can't live celibately.
No, I don't think that's... First of all, it doesn't say gays can't become priests because they already are. They've already shown they can. And also, there are certainly going to be... And I distinguish between homosexuals and gays because a gay is normally someone who promotes a lifestyle as something which is equal, an alternative lifestyle, which is contrary to Catholic teaching. You don't want a priest out there who's not teaching what the Church teaches. A person who has homosexual attraction and who struggles with it and who overcomes those struggles is to be, applauded. And there can be priests who have that who are very good priests. But exceptions are not what you make policies on. The policy should be something different.
So what would you say to a gay seminarian who feels called and feels confident that he could live celibately and whose vocation has been confirmed in prayer and by his superiors? What would you say to him?
I would say something similar to what I'd say to a woman who feels called, that you may feel called, but the Catholic Church does not validate those feelings. We try and make our decisions on the basis of the Word of God that Christ has expressed through His Church. And therefore, your feelings are probably wrong and not the Church's teaching. In other words, we don't change the Church's teaching because somebody feels different about it.
Does this sound a little intolerant to you? And is this really the message you think Jesus would be sending about homosexuality?
Well, I know it's the message Jesus is teaching because we as Catholics believe and take Jesus at His Word when He says to His apostles, "He who hears you hears me." And if we don't believe that the successors of the apostles are speaking the name of Christ, then we shouldn't be Catholics. Jesus had a lot of hard sayings. I mean, in John 6, He says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in me." And the crowds turned away. And He turns to His apostles and says, "Are you going to go too?" And Peter says, "Lord, where is there to go? You've got the words of eternal life." So Jesus was not in the business of trying to attract the largest number by having the most universal and diverse message. He was the truth, speaking the truth of God. And by the way, I think that if let's just take a hypothesis, if what the Catholic Church teaches and has taught without change, without alteration for over 2,000 years, if it's true, then what is the most charitable, compassionate thing we can tell to men and women who experience these urges towards the same sex? We can tell them, look, you know, if you follow that urge, you're going to go further and further down a path which is taking you away from your deepest self, away from your true fulfillment. We want to help you be what you're intended to be by your Creator. So I really think that yielding to the so-called gay agenda is one of the greatest disservices that anybody, especially the Church, could do to people who have these difficulties.
With all due respect, who are you to say how the Creator made people? Who were you to say that the Creator didn't make gay people gay?
You know, Terry, that's a wonderful question, and you put it exactly the right way. I, Joseph Fessio, have no claim whatsoever to tell you what the Creator said. However, I believe that the Creator actually didn't just create this world. He amazingly came down and became part of it as a human being, Jesus Christ, and that He founded a church, and that the Creator's word said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and that in obedience to that word, in faith, we accept Jesus as our Savior and as a revelation of what God's true meaning is. So this is not Father Fessio's opinion. This is the teaching of the Catholic Church. Now, no one has to become a Catholic, but if you are a Catholic, you believe that those who are in the apostolic succession teach the name of Christ and reveal the Father to us. So, your question is perfect. I've got no claim to tell you what the Creator thinks, but Jesus has a claim, and the Church has a claim.
What connection do you think this forthcoming letter from the Vatican that's expected to ban gay men from becoming priests, what connection do you think the forthcoming letter has to the sex abuse scandals in the Church?
Oh, I don't know for sure. I know that the calling of a visitation of the seminaries was occasioned by the scandals becoming public in 2002, so there's probably some relationship there. Also, when the studies were done on the sexual abuse by priests, it was found, I believe, that 80% or more of the priests who were accused had been alleged of having a relationship with boys who were, you know, adolescents. So it wasn't a question of child abuse or pederasty or pedophilia. It was a question of homosexual actions on the part of the priest and the young man. So that would obviously lead the Church to want to try and correct that.
My guest is Father Joseph Fessio. He supports a forthcoming Vatican document that's expected to ban gays from becoming priests. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about a forthcoming Vatican document that's expected to ban gay men from entering the seminary and becoming priests. My guest, Father Joseph Fessio, supports such a ban. You know Pope Benedict. Back when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, he served as your dissertation advisor when you were studying in Germany. And a publishing company that you founded, Ignatius Press, is the primary English language publisher of his works.
That's correct.
Have you ever spoken to Pope Benedict back when he was Cardinal Ratzinger? Did you ever talk about the issue of homosexuality?
Let's see. I'm sure we did. But the one conversation I most remember had to do with those priests who had been accused, either falsely accused or because of one incident way in the past, which has really been overcome, are now removed from priestly functions. And at that time, there were 700 such priests who had applied to the congregation that he was in charge of. And he told me they could only handle 70 cases a year because they take them very seriously, and more were coming in every week. So he was very disturbed by the fact that there was a potential of truly innocent priests being unjustly accused, or priests who truly had had a change of life and a conversion and corrected their errors, who now were being punished for things which had been overcome years ago. And he was very distressed by that, and I am too.
Let me ask you, there have been over the years, over the centuries, no shortage of heterosexual priests who have had relations with women. Would that lead you to want to ban heterosexual men from becoming priests?
Would lead you to want to ban men who you would suspect might be overly liable to that kind of a temptation. Both of them are sins, and we don't want priests doing of either type. But because homosexuality itself is a disorder, the church has the right to say this is a disorder which makes you unsuitable for the priesthood. And let me just think very practically here. If I think of myself at age 22, if I had entered a religious house of nuns, you know, but I was the only male there, and we were going to study together, we were going to sleep in the same cubicles and take showers together and play together and have intimate conversations together, I think that'd be an unhealthy place for me or for women. In fact, if I went to a place like that and was not sorely tempted, I think it'd be something wrong with me. I just think I can't imagine why it would be a practical thing to put men together with men when they have this great desire for each other at an age in which the emotions are very strong. It doesn't make sense to me.
Have you met a lot of gay priests in your years as a priest?
Well, I'm sure I have, but I don't know all of them who were gay. I mean, I've certainly met a number, yes.
Well, have the gay priests that you met struck you as being bad priests?
Well, I can't, you know, they're all different, you know. But there is a common problem to a lot of them is that because they have to struggle with this, it is difficult for them to proclaim in its clarity and its integrity the church's teaching. Because it's an embarrassment and it's kind of a shameful thing, and there's a tendency for them to want to try and justify what is a disorder. That's hard for them, and I think it compromises their priesthood.
What would you tell a gay priest who's been celibate through their ministry?
I'd say, my brother priest, I admire what you're doing, and I hope I can be as chaste as you are. Let us do the best we can with our brokenness to serve the Lord. That's what I would say.
So priests, gay priests who are already priests, would you like them to leave or to stay?
Once you're a priest, there you're a priest forever. And as I say, all priests have their difficulties, psychological and physical sometimes, and neurological. And so we try and be as faithful as we can to the calling we have and to follow Christ as best we can. But the church is, in many ways, an imperfect place. And there's a lot of priests who are not homosexual who shouldn't have been ordained either. You know. But God, in his mercy, allows these things to happen and gives the grace to bring good out of it. But that doesn't mean that we should contribute to bad things happening.
There's a shortage of priests. There's a fair number of priests who are gay. If gay men are from here on in banned from becoming priests, what impact is that likely to have on this crisis in the number of priests?
Terry, believe it or not, there's not a shortage of priests. Let me tell you why. In Latin America, there's one priest every 2,000 people, Catholics. In the United States, there's one priest every 1,000 or maybe 1,200. So we're much better than the rest of the world. Secondly, in the dioceses that have faithful seminaries, there's plenty of priests. And there's other dioceses where there are plenty of priests. Lincoln, Nebraska has so many priests, they have to export them. And so there will not be a decline in priestly vocations if this policy is adhered to. As a matter of fact, there's been a horrible thing that's happened in the last 20 years. I've got many instances of it where young men who accept the church's teaching on ordination of women, on contraception, on homosexuality, are screened out because they're considered too rigid. I do not see at all that this is going to cause a decline in the number of priests.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Sure, anytime you want to get a clear voice for the church, I'd be happy to help you out.
Father Joseph Fessio is the founder and editor-in-chief of Ignatius Press and the provost of Ave Maria University. Earlier, we heard from a priest who is gay and opposes a Vatican ban on gay priests.